I'm going to read from the book of Genesis this afternoon, chapter number 9. Genesis chapter number 9. I want to read some of those verses for our text this evening. I want to begin reading there in verse number 8 of Genesis number 9. And God spake unto Noah and to his sons with him, saying, And I, behold, I establish my covenant with you and with your seed after you, and with every living creature that is with you, of the fowl, of the cattle, and of every beast of the earth with you, from all that go out of the ark to every beast of the earth. And I will establish my covenant with you. Neither shall all flesh be cut off any more by the waters of the flood. Neither shall there be a flood to destroy the earth. And God said, This is the token of the covenant which I make between me and you and every living creature that is with you for perpetual generations. I do set my bow in the cloud, and it shall be for a token of a covenant between me and the earth. And it shall come to pass, when I bring a cloud over the earth, that the bow shall be seen in the cloud. And I will remember my covenant, which is between me and you and every living creature of all flesh, and the water shall no more become a flood to destroy all flesh. And the bow shall be in the cloud, and I will look upon it that I may remember the everlasting covenant between God and every living creature of all flesh that is upon the earth. And God said unto Noah, This is the token of the covenant which I have established between me and all flesh that is upon the earth. Well, I want us to think about this rainbow. I remember years ago we used to sing a song, the title of which was God Put a Rainbow in the Cloud. Now, I don't remember the words of the song. I do remember the chorus. It says, God put a rainbow in the cloud. God put a rainbow in the cloud. When it looked like the sun wouldn't shine anymore, God put a rainbow in the cloud. Amen. So I want us to think about that rainbow for just a few minutes this evening. I know there are other preachers, and so I want to try to be brief. This rainbow, I want us to see the meaning, what I believe to be the meaning of the rainbow. And then we'll look at some men in the Bible that are associated with the rainbow for just a little bit. I think about the meaning of this rainbow. God put this rainbow as a token of this everlasting covenant that he made with Noah and with the earth. I think the meaning of that rainbow is simply grace. Amen. Grace. Think about it now. That rainbow was a bridge between heaven and earth. Amen. And I want to tell you something this evening. The only bridge between heaven and earth is grace, the grace of God. Now, it's not the law of Moses. That's not the bridge. Amen. The Bible said in John 1:17, the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. So it's not the law of Moses. It's not the Sermon on the Mount That's not the bridge. I tell you, the Sermon on the Mount instructs us in some things of life, ways of living and so forth, principles of life. But that's not a bridge to heaven. The only bridge to heaven is the grace of God. So this rainbow is a picture of the grace of God. Heaven bridging heaven and earth. Notice another thing about this rainbow. It's painted against the dark background of the storm. You know, grace is made possible only by judgment. Now, for especially in the last 40 years, liberal preachers and theologians have been preaching and teaching that God is a God of love. So he loves everybody and he won't judge anybody and any sin. I want to tell you tonight, today, this afternoon, I'm confused. I want to tell you that nobody ever got saved by the love of God. I tell you how you get saved. You get saved by the grace of God because the love of God was translated in grace when God judged his son on the old rugged cross and laid our sin upon him, and he couldn't judge us and save us too. So he judged the Savior so that he could save you and me. And so grace is provided by the judgment that God put on his son when he hung on that cross. It come after the storm. I see another thing about this grace, and I love this. This rainbow is a universal thing. I mean, you can travel to the continent of Africa and see the rainbow. Or you can travel to the country of Australia and you can see the rainbow. You can go to communist China and you can see the rainbow. And I want to tell you, that is a perfect picture of the grace of God. I get so perturbed by these tulip boys. They call themselves Calvinists, and they use that tulip, you know, are the 5 points of their theology. T, total depravity. I believe in total depravity, but I don't believe in total inability. And the U is unconditional election. I don't believe that. The Bible don't teach that. The L is for limited atonement. That means Jesus didn't die for everybody. And you know, if you know anything, the Bible don't teach that. That I is irresistible grace. That is, a sinner, if God ever deals with a sinner, he can't resist. I want to tell you, that's a lie. In these years I've been preaching, I've seen God deal with sinners. I've seen sinners resist God. I've seen some of them die and go to hell after I knew that God had dealt with them. There's no such thing as irresistible grace. And, of course, the P is for preservation. I believe that, but I don't believe it the way the Calvinists believe it. And I tell you what I think about that tulip theology. I think they're a bunch of blooming idiots is what I think. And the Bible says in Titus chapter 2 and verse 11, for the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared unto all men. And the Bible said in Hebrews chapter 2 and verse number 9, but we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he, by the grace of God, should taste death for every man. The grace of God is universal. Anybody, anywhere, at any time, they will recognize they're a sinner and come to God, they can get saved. I've been saved. If I live till July, I will have been saved 64 years. And you know, I don't remember the sermon that the preacher preached when I got saved. All I remember what he said. In the sermon, he used John 6:37, where Jesus said, all the Father giveth to me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. And I'd been under conviction. I got under conviction the first week in that 2-week revival. You know, we used to have 2-week revivals. And we'd have morning and evening services. So I got under conviction in that first week revival. Now we have weekend revivals. They're weak on both ends. Amen. So the second week of that revival meeting on Wednesday morning is when I went down to that, we called them back in those days, mourner's bench. I went down to that mourner's bench, and I didn't know how to pray. I knew I was lost. I didn't know what to say. And I don't remember, honestly, I don't remember all that I said that morning that I came to God. But I do remember saying, Lord, I know that preacher said that Jesus said if I would come to him that he would not cast me out. And I said, Lord, I've come. Amen. And I tell you, God saved me. So I know that verse is true. I came to Jesus and he saved me. And God is no respecter of persons. So that means that anyone else who will come to Jesus, they'll get saved by the grace of God. The grace of God is universal. Amen. I want to thank the good Lord for that. I tell you another thing about this rainbow. It was a result of light shining through the water up there. And that's what produces those beautiful colors. You know, an artist, they can't paint a rainbow as pretty as God paints it. And somebody said, well, what in the world has that got to do with the grace of God? Well, I read over in 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse number 10 where Peter talked about the manifold grace of God. You know what that word manifold means? It means many colored. And I want to tell you, whatever situation you find yourself in life, whatever a struggle, whatever burden, whatever sorrow, whatever a temptation, I want to tell you there's a color of grace that will fit your situation. Amen. God's grace is sufficient. It is sufficient. Over 30 years ago, my wife, many of you are aware that she had that very serious surgery, a 12-hour surgery over in Memphis, Tennessee. They took her at 7 in the morning, and the surgery lasted till 7 that night. And about 9:30, quarter to 10, I finally got to go back in the intensive care unit to see her. She looked like she was dead. And I laid my hand on her arm, and she opened her eyes a little bit, and I could see she was trying to say something. So I leaned over the bed and got my ear close to her mouth. And she said, "If you don't fast and pray, I'm not going to make it." So I was staying in the hotel. There was a hotel connected with that hospital. It was across the street, and there was a tunnel under the street going over to the hotel. And I left that intensive care unit, and I started down and through that tunnel to go to the hotel. I'd been preaching. At that time, I'd been preaching 25 years. The devil said to me as I walked across that tunnel, "If God loved your wife, she wouldn't be having to go through this. And if God loved you, you wouldn't be having to go through this." I hate the devil. And then the devil said to me, "Where's that grace you've been preaching about?" And I went in that hotel room, and I got on my knees beside that bed, and I started talking to God. And I don't know how long I prayed, but I want to tell you this afternoon, with my hand raised toward heaven, that God in heaven, He came into that room in the person and presence of the Holy Ghost, and God spoke to me and let me know that grace was sufficient and that everything would be all right. And I want to tell you tonight, I don't know what situation I'll have to face or what situation you'll have to face, but you can rest assured that when God said to Paul in 2 Corinthians 12:9, "My grace is sufficient for thee," God makes you and I the same promise. His grace is sufficient. It is a multicolored grace. Well, another thing about this rainbow, I got to hurry. Another thing about this rainbow, you have to look up to see it.
Amen. Yeah.
Amen. So, if we're gonna experience the grace of God, we have to look up to God.
Yeah.
Amen. Yeah. I tell you, we're gonna have to trust in God and look up to God. The psalmist said, "I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills from which cometh my help."
Amen.
My help cometh from the Lord. Amen. Well, the meaning of the rainbow, the grace of God. I want to talk for just a little bit on some men that are associated with this rainbow. And the first, of course, is Noah that we've just read about. Now, in this story here, and God putting this rainbow as a token of the covenant, he is making a covenant with creation.
Amen.
He said, "I'm making this covenant with the earth. I'm making this covenant with the fowl. I'm making this covenant with man. I'm making this covenant with the beast and with the cattle, wild animals, domesticated animal, the fowls." This covenant he's making with creation. Well, you say, what's important about that? I tell you what's important about it, because we have the assurance of the stability of creation. Amen. You think about how confusing it would be. You know, God set this thing in order. And the scientists, you know, they're trying to deny God and everything. But you know, all true science is possible only because God put a order in this universe. You think about how confusing it would be if we had 3 nights without day. And then we had 2 days without night. Wouldn't that be confusing? God put an order in this universe. Now listen to me. I'm not as smart as a scientist. But I'm smart enough to believe the Bible. And I want to tell you what I believe about climate change. And it's found in Genesis. You know, let me give you a background of what I'm fixing to read. When I was about 15 years old, I was in the general store out there on Sand Mountain, and I heard these two women talking. And one of them said to the other, you know, the Bible says that before the end of time, it'll get to where you can't tell the seasons apart. And the other woman said, yeah, I've heard that's in the Bible. Well, that didn't sound right to me. I knew very little about the Bible, but I made up my mind that day that I was going to read through the Bible, the whole Bible, and see if it said that. Well, I just had to read 8 chapters. Because in Genesis chapter 8 and verse 22, this is my belief about climate change. God said, while the earth remaineth, seed time and harvest, and cold and heat, and summer and winter, and day and night shall not cease. Now, I don't care what the climate change scientists say. I tell you, the God who created everything and the God who controls everything says as long as this earth remains, that he's going to make sure there's cold and hot, winter and summer, seed time and harvest, day and night, as long as the earth remains. You can believe anything you want to. I believe God. Amen. It gives us assurance of the stability of creation, God's covenant with creation. Then we find Ezekiel over in Ezekiel chapter 1. You know, that chapter, it's got a whole lot of stuff in it. It's a very dramatic chapter, and I won't take time to read all that. There's too much in there. Too much in there to read it all. But one thing I want to point out, that in verse 10, where it talks about these creatures and the likeness of their faces, he said, they four had the face of a man, the face of a lion on the right side, and they four had the face of an ox on the left side. They four also had the face of an eagle. Now that's in Ezekiel 1, verse 10. And if you look at Genesis 9 and verse 10, God made that covenant way back there in Genesis. And he made it with the same ones. The cattle. You know, he said ox over there in Ezekiel, but that's the domesticated animals. The beast, that's the wild beast, that's the lion over there in Ezekiel. The fowl, that's the eagle. And then with man, the face of a man. So that shows us that God's enduring covenant is still true in Ezekiel after all of these years. Now, Ezekiel is in captivity. He's in exile. The Babylonians have come down on Jerusalem, and they've taken him into exile, and he sees here in this chapter, you've heard that wheel within the wheels, all of that's here in chapter 1. I don't have time to go into all that, but in verse 28 of chapter 1, this is what the Bible said, and as the appearance of the bow that is in the cloud in the day of rain, so was the appearance of the brightness round about. This was the appearance of the likeness of the glory of the Lord. And when I saw it, I fell upon my face, and I heard a voice that spake unto me. And in the chapter 2, it tells us what God said unto Ezekiel. Let me just summarize what God said. When Ezekiel saw that bow, that rainbow in the cloud, God saying, Ezekiel, they're going to come in and they're going to destroy the city. They're going to tear down the temple. You're going to be in exile and captive. But Ezekiel, just remember that I'm still in control. And you know, God has promised to preserve a remnant of his people. So this covenant with Ezekiel is a covenant with the chosen people of God, the children of Israel. And that's why I know, I don't care what the idiots say in Iran, I know they're never going to wipe Israel off the map. It may go the other way. It would not surprise me, since Benjamin Netanyahu has got a close friend in the White House. It would not surprise me to wake up any day now and hear that Israel made a parking lot out of Tehran. Amen. And that'd be all right with me. So God's covenant with creation, Noah, God's covenant with his chosen people, Ezekiel. But I want you to look at Revelation chapter 4, and we're going to see John the Beloved saw a rainbow. Amen. In Revelation 4:1, John the Beloved said, after this I looked, and behold, a door was open in heaven, and the first voice I heard was as it were a trumpet talking to me, which said, come up hither, and I will show thee things which must be hereafter. And immediately I was in the Spirit, and behold, a throne was set in heaven, and one sat on the throne. And he that sat was to look upon like a jasper and a sardine stone, and there was a rainbow round about the throne in the sight like unto an emerald. Now notice it said a rainbow round about the throne. Now you and I don't see a whole rainbow. We see a half rainbow. But John said in that throne room in heaven that there is a rainbow all way around that throne. I want to tell you, the grace of God is complete in its works. And we have here in Revelation chapter 4, John beholding that rainbow, we have God's covenant with the church. He said, come up hither. Now, as we read further in the Revelation, we read about that great tribulation and what God's going to do as he pours out judgment upon this earth. But I want to tell you tonight, when the wrath of God is poured out, the church will be out of here. We're not going to be here. God, don't take us out of here. I tell you, before those seven seals are ever broken, before those seven trumpets are ever blown, before those seven vials are ever poured out of the church of the living God, it's going to be caught up into heaven. We're going to be with Jesus. And we won't experience the wrath of God. Noah saw the rainbow after the storm. Have you ever gone through a storm and you wondered what God was doing? And after everything settled down, you kind of saw and experienced the grace of God after the storm. Ezekiel saw the rainbow in the midst of the storm. It was going on. And I want to tell you, you and I can see the grace of God in the midst of the storms in our lives. But I tell you what blesses me is John saw that rainbow before the storm. I mean, the storm was about to break out, and the great tribulation was going to take place upon this earth. But before that storm, God said to John, come up hither. I'm going to show you what's going to happen. And that you never see the church in the book of Revelation after chapter 4 and verse 1. You don't see the church on the earth until we come back out of heaven with Jesus in Revelation 19. I repeat, when the tribulation enters, we'll be gone to be with Jesus. Amen. Thank you, preacher.